Can you say amen? The Bible says, starting in Mark chapter 14, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. Have y'all heard that statement, that name Gethsemane before? They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith, verse 34, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So much going on here. The Bible says, verse 37, and he cometh and findeth him sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye, verse 38, and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, verse 41, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. This, and what I'm going to do this morning, church, and for the next few Sundays, and really the Sundays after that, I'm going to bring, I'm not really calling it a series, but a focus, I guess you could almost say this morning, of messages on the story, the historical account, the biblical account of what we call Easter or the resurrection or the death, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to give you a title for this message that comes from the very word and the very place that we're looking at in verse 32, where it says Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And I want to preach a message and talk about what our Lord's going through here and then bring it down and apply it to us. And I'm going to try to do this very quickly, but I want you to grasp this morning, church. I want you to pay attention, if you can, just for a few moments to the preaching of the Word of God. And I want you to get something. I believe it'll be a help to you. I know God's just touched my heart with this. And I preached for many years, but it just seems like some of these things are almost afresh and anew to me. And I want you to write this title down. Think of this title very, very simply this. When the pressure is on. When the pressure is on. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And I thank you for this time. I thank you for the singing this morning. I thank you for our dear missionary that's here with us. I thank you for visitors that are here and the prayers that have been offered, the finances that have been given and the sacrifices. And Lord, I thank you for the fellowship we've had. I thank you that we've gathered around to hear the preaching and the teaching of your word. May we apply it to our hearts and to our lives. I pray for those who, Lord, as a preacher, I'm burdened. Where are they today? I don't know. Lord, some of them are sick and hurting. We're concerned about them, and we're brokenhearted, those who are falling away. Lord, I pray that for those who have gathered in this place, that you would hide my finite mind and stammering tongue behind the glorious message of the cross. I pray, dear God, that you lift your name would be lifted up in this place. Help us to bring honor to you. And Lord, I pray for that soul that's near his tail. They do not know for sure that heaven be their home, and they need to trust you and you alone for salvation. May they get saved today. May the Christian who hasn't said amen in years because they don't have an amen in their heart, Lord, I pray you'd set them on fire today. And may we get broken again about our sin and about our nation and about our country. And may we get excited again about who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, Amen. All of God's people said, if I could go around this building this morning and I could ask you what's going on in your life, maybe in the past week or two or past days. In fact, if I could show you the just my private messages that I've received on Facebook for various different things. If you could show me some maybe private things in your life. Maybe not so private, maybe just public things. I think all of us could say this morning in some way, shape, or form, we have been under some pressure. As a pastor, I look around and I see families under pressure. I see individuals under pressure. I see churches under pressure. I see a culture that is having a battle with its own self under pressure. We've seen even this last week, whole states and legislatures and leaders that are under extreme pressure. It seems like there's pressure everywhere you turn. Everybody you talk to, some folks had to leave church this morning because of something going on in their life. A pressure situation, a pressure cooker. I remember when I was a little boy. My mama canned. I don't know if anybody's in here cans, but she'd can. She'd have them tomatoes in that pressure cooker. And I was fascinated by that thing. I was told, don't you get within a mile of that thing. And that thing, boy, I mean, and I said, what's it? That's a pressure cooker, huh? And that thing would get under extreme pressure. He said, brother, that's what in the world does that have to do with Gethsemane? I'm glad you asked. I want you to notice that statement. It says they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. Now you can read the other accounts. For sake of time, I won't get into all of them. I challenge you, I encourage you to read before and after and the other passages. I promise you, you'll be blessed because of it. This is a unique scene. This is an interesting thing that's going on here as we approach Easter. As Jesus Christ is getting ready to be betrayed, he comes to this place called Gethsemane. Now, what does that have to do with pressure? And I'll be true with you, church. I didn't, until the Lord, I just come across this and read several sermons and several, man, there are songs written about Gethsemane. There are churches named Gethsemane. There are sculptures about Gethsemane. There have people been moved deep in their heart because of the story that's portrayed right here in this passage. It's an amazing thing. And this word Gethsemane, though I did not know this, I've been preaching for years, but I did not know what it meant. The word Gethsemane means olive press. I didn't know that. I knew it was a Garden of Gethsemane. I'd seen, you know, pictures and things. In fact, in my studies, there's some of those olive trees that are still there in the garden. In fact, they think that some of them are extremely old. I mean, an olive tree will live for years and it resprouts and it actually can be traced back to an original tree. Who knows? The very trees may be there. I don't know. But you can still see the pictures there. People make pilgrimages there. And it was like in 300 AD that some of the early Christians went back to that garden because they were moved in their heart when they read this passage. When we think about this passage, you say, what does it mean, press? I want you to understand what an olive press does. I didn't know this. There's two different types that I noticed in my study. One of them was like a stone wheel and it was in a trough and they would put those olives that y'all have heard of olive oil. You've heard of olives. Most of you think of an olive, you just put it on your salad, but they use olives for a lot of other things. And they would take those olives and they would crush them and that weight of that stone would cause that oil to come through and it had a trough built and they would bottle it up. They'd put it in containers and it's still a precious commodity today. And then it was another one I saw, another, wasn't just a stone wheel, but it was another, it was a basket. And the basket was porous, almost like what we would look like a wicker basket maybe. Not exactly, but, and they would put a stone on that. They put those baskets full of olives. And then that stone would press down on those olives and crush those olives and break them up and it would produce that valuable oil that come out of those olives. And it really literally would seep through the holes of the basket, run into a little trough, and then down into whatever container they was putting down. So it was an interesting thing to just see the visual picture of what Gethsemane was all about. I don't think this morning, church, it was any coincidence that our Lord went to a place and God under the most pressure that he ever had in his life right here in Gethsemane. And if you're under pressure this morning, I want you to hear what our Lord went through. We see, I believe, in our text, four different types of pressure. A couple of them in particular in the text. Some pressure that maybe you and I could identify with in our lives. By the way, you got to be very careful to identify with the Lord on this, because this is a pressure like nobody's ever had pressure. You said, brother, I'm under such pressure and you just know what I'm going through. Let me tell you something, friend. Nobody, but nobody's ever been under the pressure that our Savior's under right here. I want us to understand that this morning. I want you to notice with me, number one, we see an internal pressure. Our Lord says to them, and you see the scene here, he's got his fellows around him, these men that's going to pray, and boy, by the way, Gethsemane's a place of prayer. Man, I tell you what, this thing here, it'll break your heart. I felt like I was getting broke like an olive. I mean, when I was reading this, I said, God, you did that for me, and God, you cared enough for me, and Lord, how could I ever complain? And Lord, how could I ever be upset? And man, how could I ever be discouraged when you broke for me? Lord, I sure thank you that he did it for me. He takes Peter with him. He says, sit here while I shall pray. And he takes with him Peter and James and John. By the way, can you imagine get to hang out with our Lord? And began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. He could feel that heaviness. You could just see that stone, that weight upon our Lord. And he said unto them, my soul. Won't you notice it says, my soul. He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. There's some things here that we see in this text here. We see the word sore amazed. He was sore amazed this morning, church. When we think about what our Lord went through, he was sore amazed. It was an overwhelming picture that we see. We see here it says very heavy. Some of you all may have came to church this morning and man, you feel like it. You got the world on your shoulders. You feel very heavy. Let me say something to you. Our Lord literally had, in fact, I looked up some of the artwork. There has been some of the most famous paintings and artwork by some of the most world-renowned artists from back in the 1800s and years ago about just this scene alone. And one of them is called The World on His Shoulders. And it shows the Lord just broken. And we see this picture here that this internal pressure inside of our Lord, that he was sore amazed and he was very heavy. And the Bible says he was exceeding sorrowful. If you've ever been so sorrow and broken and crying that it's hard to even put it into English words here. The picture here is just of that pressure of what is getting ready. Now you understand, church, this morning, what is getting ready to take place. Listen, if you can't pay attention to this, you can't pay attention to anything. If you didn't come to church to hear this, I don't know why you're coming to church. This is the very reason why we do what we do today. Because what he's getting ready to do is to suffer and bleed and die on the cross for us. And he knows what's coming. He knows that God is going to pour out his indignation upon that cross. He knows that he's going to take the sin of all mankind. He sees what's coming. And he's very sorrowful in his spirit about this. We see this. Our Savior has that internal pressure. Now, not a pressure like he's going to break. Not a pressure out of weakness. This isn't I'm running late to work and I feel stressed out. This isn't, man, I didn't get my cheese on my cheeseburger. How dare they charge me? I'm upset. This isn't, I'm going to get on Facebook and fuss. This isn't, I'm going to get mad at my wife or this isn't like me, my favorite sports teams get me all stressed out. This isn't what we're talking about, church. I think all of us think sometimes we're stressed when we're really not all that stressed. By the way, it isn't stress of his own making either. Sometimes I get stressed out, and I'll be honest with you. You know who's at fault? Me. I said, well, now, you know, I did this, and I like to blame my wife. I like to blame my kids. I like to blame everybody else. But it's me. It's me, oh, Lord, standing in need of prayer. But this isn't our Savior here. Oh, no. I don't want to give the impression that the Lord is weak or wrong or sinful. That's not the case. Sore amazed, very heavy, exceeding sorrowful. Then it says, unto death. Now he knows he's going to, the Lord knows what's going on here. But he says here, just in this scene alone, he says unto death. It says unto death. Now I want you to, we see this internal pressure, and this unto death kind of goes right in my second, write this down real quick if you're taking notes. We see secondly, external pressure. I want you to take your Bible real quickly if you can and turn with me to Luke chapter 22, because I want you to get this. These two things go together. In Luke chapter 22, and I want to read just a verse here to you. Luke 22, I think I've got my reference right. If I don't, I'll just quote it to you. In Luke 22, verse 44. Luke 22, 44. I want you to get this. I want you to see this. I want you to highlight this. I want this to indwell your mind and heart today. I want you to go to bed tonight with this on your mind. I want this to cause a lump in your throat. I want you to get convicted about this. I want us as a church to look at this and never forget what our Savior's done. He says here, verse 42, of course, it says the same thing. It's the same account, the agony in prayer. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, it not my will, but thine be done. By the way, that's opposite of what the world's living today, isn't it? It's whatever we want. That's not our Savior. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. But look what it says, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. People have been contemplating that and talking about that, that great drops of blood. I want you to understand, we see this when this pressure is on. It literally, could I say this, and I mean this, the Lord knows my heart, in an unsacrilegious way. I mean this with all reverence and respect and worship due His name. Literally, the pressure is popping out on Him. It literally is coming to the surface, just like when you squeeze something. You can literally, physically see this. I think this is a supernatural thing that's going on here. Like never before has ever been seen or witnessed. We see this external pressure. Now, I'm not much on pictures of the Lord. I think they always get it wrong. They always show His hair differently than I think the Bible teaches. Some folks will show the Lord Jesus clean shaven, and we know that He had a beard because they plucked it out. There's a lot of different renditions. But one thing that really captured my attention, it was a famous painting that was made, I think it was 1810. And it showed this scene of the Lord. You know, sometimes they show the Lord, He looks kind of handsome, kind of neat. You know, He's got His hair certain ways, real clean looking. But this picture grabbed my heart because it showed the Lord disheveled. It showed Him sweaty. It showed Him almost, you can almost see the beginning of what He's getting ready to go through on Calvary. And you can see this agony. If you've ever been sick or hurting, you know, you don't want to come to my house if I've had the flu. I look pretty rough. And the Lord just, and it showed His, kind of His hair was stringy. But can you imagine if you were sweating blood, how nasty that would be? It was in His hair. And it was on His outfit. I mean, it was, and we don't know exactly how that looked. And I know that's just an artist's rendition. I understand that. But I do think, though, that this was not the clean cut. You know, we're going to go to church Sunday morning. Look, I believe this was the agony of the Lord. And I believe you could see the pressure on Him. See that external pressure in Gethsemane. And then I got this next point from a different preacher. This is not originally from me, but I was reading a sermon about this, and I like this point, so I add it to my sermon. And that is the infernal pressure. He wrote in his message, and I like what he said. He said he believed that there was satanic opposition going on, even though we really don't necessarily see Satan in the text. But if you look before and after, you see Satan all around it. And I believe the application can be made here that Satan was loving everything, any agony he could put on anybody, he loves it. I don't think he understood the depths. This is something, in fact, as I read this, I prayed and got broken heart. I said, God, this is so spiritual and so godly and so holy and so righteous. I'm scared to death to preach on it. To me, this is like John 3:16. I feel overwhelmed. I feel intimidated by the text. I look at it and get a conviction myself. I realize, church, this morning, we need this in our churches more than anything else. It's getting back to a reverence and a love and a fear of an almighty God. We see God in agony here. And that infernal pressure, boy, I can just see the devil. You can just see the devil, the more Satan, more pressure he can put, this satanic opposition. And then by way of an outline, we see eternal pressure. You say, what do you mean, Brother Dallas? I want you to think about this. You and I had never sinned yet. We hadn't been born yet. Some of y'all celebrated a birthday, even Brother Bill, 90. Isn't that a blessing? But Brother Bill hadn't been born yet. Brother Bill hadn't sinned yet. The folks in South Sudan that Brother X trying to reach, in Uganda, Venezuela, Brother Ramos, they hadn't been born yet. Why, some of them places hadn't even been populated. In fact, when we look at what's going on here, he was taking the pressure for even them little babies in the nursery. He was taking the pressure of sin upon him. And this cup of indignation, and there's so much doctrine here that I could get into, and for sake of time, I won't be able to this morning. But please understand, I don't want to be remiss in saying there's so much going on here. I could preach a series and might do it just on this passage. It's an unbelievable thing, and it's an eternal pressure. You know, a lot of times you and I go through pressure, but we know, hey, it's getting ready to stop. I know I've went through the dentist before, and I thought, well, if I can just get through it, it'll be all right when I get out. If I can just grin and bear it. We know it's going to eventually stop. Let me tell you something. This is a pressure here, friend, for all sin, for all eternity. You know that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for everybody, everywhere? This is a big statement. This is a big thing that's going on right here. For every sin ever committed, for every wicked deed, don't you think about whatever, what's the most wicked, horrible sin you can think of, the Lord's taking it upon him. Whatever you can think of, it's vile and wretched. God's getting ready to take it upon him. Internal, external, infernal, eternal pressure. When the pressure's on. Now, I want to give you some thoughts that the Lord gave me, and we're going to go home. A couple of these are questions, and a couple of these are statements that I want you to think about in your life with this passage. Number one is this. Are you under pressure? Are you under some pressure? God knows your life. And you look, I watch some of these shows, you know. I like to watch these detective shows. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned about these things. A lot of people live under a lot of pressure. Sometimes it's financial pressure. Sometimes it's emotional pressure. Excuse me. Sometimes it's pressure that we don't even understand. It's infernal, I think. It's satanic. Sometimes, I want to ask you, and you know your life. I see some of you. I can sit on your face. I can sit in your body language. I called my wife the other day. There was a situation happened right in front of me, and I called my wife. I said, hey, you need to make a phone call. She said, well, I said, well, I can just tell. And I got to thinking, Dallas, how could you tell? I could tell by body language. You can almost see pressure in somebody the way they walk and stand and talk, can't you? Can you imagine our Savior here? I think Jesus almost physically now, we know he's the Lord, but he was the God man. I think it almost hunched over. You can almost see that physical pressure that comes down on somebody. This is hitting home with some of you right now because you know what it's like to be under pressure. It could be a financial thing that you look and you got more month than you do money. Amen. You look, maybe it's health pressure. You say, man, I tell you what, brother, that's my health's failing. In fact, many of you, I've talked to this morning about your health and how you're feeling. And man, it just weighs on you. The thing about health problems, it just weighs on you like a saddle on your back. It can be marital pressure that if you've ever get into that, marriage can be the most wonderful thing in the world, but it can be the most disastrous thing in the world. It can be pressure with your children. Man, we're trying to raise kids in a world that is upside down and you're just trying to get them to turn out right. And man, you say, dear God in heaven, let me get them raised before I go nuts. You say, but now, that's not really going on. Listen, we're living in a world, and y'all know this, where mamas will take their babies and go drown them in a bathtub. The lady in Texas took a rock and crushed them, crushed her baby's hands with a stone. I go on and on. Y'all know this. I lived in South Carolina for a while, not far from the place where a lady took her babies, put them in a car, and drove them in a lake. Don't tell me there's no pressure. There's pressure everywhere, and you see it. You see people just breaking apart. There's folks that ought to be in church this morning, and the only reason they're not here is one reason only. You know it and I know it, and that is pressure. Are you under pressure? Some folks are pressure, and here's what happens. Instead of coming close to God, instead of doing what God wants to do, they get broken, they seep out and go another direction. Are you under pressure? Secondly, let me say this by statement. Christ took the pressure for all of us. I'll say it again. Christ took the pressure for all of us. I mean, I think everybody from time to time, maybe, and I don't want to put any thoughts in your minds, but oh, Satan's a devil and your old mind and flesh. I think a lot of folks from time to time, I should maybe say it that way, have said, you know what? I'm just going to take my own life. I'm put into it. I'm done. Can't take it anymore. Now, listen, behind the pulpit is no exception. Brother Eric and I could tell you people that we know, maybe not necessarily personally, some of them we know very well, know their names. They could not take the pressure that's mounted on a pulpit and in a church. I've seen folks that take their life. You said, Brother, I said, hey, listen, there's a lot of things we can say right there, but I'm going to tell you something. When you get under pressure, you don't know what you might do and say. Folks act out. You know what they do? I saw somebody the other day. They was buying a 12-pack under pressure. They go and get into other things to take that pressure off. I was talking to a preacher. I think this is a good thing. He said he went trout fishing. He said it's therapy for me. You know what he's saying? I got to have some pressure off of me. I think that's good therapy. Amen? But that's what he did. And many of you all do things. Man, I got to have a release of pressure. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But let me say this to you, though. If it's sinful, it's wrong to take the pressure off. And let me say this. Whatever you're going on, Jesus took that pressure. And my brother X here, he knows me, my wife and family tell you this. They tell me that I panic sometimes. You may ever panic. Don't you say that, brother. I panic. I say, oh, man, what are we going to do? I don't know what's going to do. We got a flat tire. We got the electric went out. My power went out yesterday. I said, here we go again. I was upset. I wouldn't move out of my chair, but I was upset. And I panic. Oh, man, somebody's done hit the telephone pole, knocked out the power for the next 2 weeks. Sky's falling, and you know what? I get that pressure. I've had to get to the hospital. Somebody's dying. Get on Route 20. Nobody else knows they're dying, and I'm going 10 miles an hour for the next 30 minutes. I can just feel that pressure in that car as I'm driving down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're late for work, and you just started, and you don't want to be late. You're late for church. God, help us. We're late for church sometimes. I'll preach on that a little while. But what happens is we have that pressure and we forget sometimes when we get ready to say, well, I'll just take my life. Well, I'll just quit church. Well, I'll just quit this and I'll quit that and I'll take the pressure off. Well, we forget, though, that ain't going to fix anything, friend. Let me tell you something to you. You need to look to the Christ who took the pressure for you. When the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Remember, he was in Gethsemane for you. He was taking that pressure. So that you and I can come and say, Lord, I've got that pressure of sin, I can't take it. I've got that pressure of this old world, I can't take it. I want to cast all my care upon you because you care for me and you love for me. And I believe the old song says when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I believe in Gethsemane. Hey, listen, all the world was on his mind and heart. Thirdly, the only way through pressure, how are we going to get through it? Some of you all right now, if you told me, I'd get pressured with you. I couldn't take it either. I said, oh, dear God, I'm having to get through this. When that pressure starts to get on, and boy, you can feel that thing tight. In fact, as I looked up some images for pressure, they showed people have their head in a vice grip. They showed that pressure. They showed that stone. You ought to see the big old massive stones that they crushed them olives with at Gethsemane. They had to have levers and levers and all kinds of things to lift them up. They'd have animals to make that stone go around to crush. I mean, it took some effort to do that crushing. And boy, that pressure was immense. How are you going to get through that? How are you going to make it? We see it in our text. One is prayer. Don't tell me you're under pressure and how bad it is if you ain't even willing to pray. I remind you, you know the main thrust of this passage is God is talking to God. The Son is talking to the Father. And he actually says, if there's any other way, is there any other way? The pressure was so immense that even our Lord and Savior said, is there another way? I'll let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will. Well, it's a supernatural thing. We don't really quite grasp but by faith. But let me say this to you. You're not going to get through your pressure if you ain't willing to pray. I hear people say, man, I'm under pressure and my life's under pressure. I'm thinking, honey, you won't even darken the door of the church. Somebody sent me a message and they was asking me some questions about the Bible. And I won't go into them. They was asking me some questions and I finally just said,
Y'all didn't give in church. I hardly ever say that. But I was a little bit blunt. And I said, and they, this mate said, I can't give you any excuse why we're not in church. And I thought to myself, don't wonder that you can't understand the Bible. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. God made it that way. The Bible says he purchased it with his own blood. That we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I say it this way for the text this morning? So much the more as the pressure gets on. We don't need less church. We got churches across America in denominations that once would never do it. Have closed down their Sunday night and closed down their Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you something. I got too much pressure to miss church on Wednesday night. I don't know how y'all make it. I miss one service. I'm like, God, I feel like I've been out in the desert. I need to get back to the oasis. I need to get back to where the fresh water flows. I need to get back to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. God, I need you in my life. I don't see how people, I honestly don't see how people make it. We got to have prayer. We got to have trust. Our Lord says, nevertheless. You see what we do sometimes? We try to take it on ourselves. We try to make it ourselves. We try to make it through life. I got this. I got this. I can do it. All the while taking more and more pressure. I got this. Any of y'all ever unloaded groceries out of your car? I'm one of them guys. I don't want to make two trips. Can I get an amen? And so I want to get them all in two hands. 40-11 bags. 2 liters. You know, 5-pound bag of flour. Feed, whatever it is. I'm going to get them in them two for two hands. The other day I did that and I didn't hold the bag right and felt like I pulled a nerve slap out of my finger. It was numb for 3 days. I'm not kidding. Because I sat there flipping and I said, oh Lord, I done lost my finger. Because of the pressure. Because I thought in a silly way, and by the way, you said, what else? What are you talking about? I think sometimes we take silly things and put ourselves under pressure that we need not be under. We let things happen in our spiritual lives. People get asked, I ask people, man, you been out? Yeah, we got out. Why'd you get out of church? And they'll tell you something as a preacher. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You let something that silly get you away from the things of God? You got to be joking me. Don't let the culture, hey, listen, young people. Don't let the culture pressure you out of church. Don't let your coworker pressure you out of church. Don't let a family member put the pressure on you to get out of church. You come to the one and you trust the one that no matter what pressure there is, he can bring you through. And then we see obedience. You see, we want to have the pressure off, but we don't want to do what God says. Somebody asked me, said, well, was there more than one? Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead more than once? And I think to myself, honey, read the Bible. Be obedient to what we already know. Well, how do I have a good? Just be obedient. Some folks want to ask questions about, well, what is Judges 3:16? Why don't you obey John 3:16? Well, man, we want to see our church grow. We need to put some money. Why don't you go soul winning and read your Bible? You see, what we've tried to do today, we because of the pressure, we try to do something else. When we need to get back to just saying, yes, Lord. Yes, God, I'll do what you say. By the way, don't you go over here this morning saying, Brother Dallas said, don't you do that. You're making a grave mistake. Brother Dallas has got to line up with just like you do. Two more things, we'll go home. I want to ask you this real quickly. Are you ready for the pressure to be released? Are you ready for it to be over? Wouldn't you just like to get that pressure off? How many of y'all have ever put on a suit and go somewhere? I wear them all the time. But I'll be honest with you, as soon as I get to the house, I don't sit around in this suit. First thing I do is I take this choker off my neck. And I go, whew. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I like that pressure to be released and I can breathe again. Well, how many of you all in your spiritual lives, in your marital life, in your financial life, whatever. I have nobody, absolutely nobody in mind. In fact, I look at my own life and say, Lord, I said, Lord, I've had some times where I said, Lord, I don't think the ministry is supposed to be this much pressure. I know there's a pressure, but it shouldn't be like this. I said, God, I got to give this thing to you. I'm taking too much on me. Lord, it's got to be about you. The pressure has to go to God. Are you ready for see, some people are not ready for it. They like that pressure. They like that. They think they can figure it all out. I'm a wimp. I'm that little kid that's standing there at his grandma's table, and she's making him
them strawberry preserves or whatever it is she's making in that pot. I'm that kid that wants to break into them things as soon as they get pressurized. I'm that kid that wants to pop them up here, whoosh, that seal break. You see, I'm to the Lord, I'm like, God, I want you to do something only you can do. Lord, I don't want that pressure. I can't figure out how to be a good husband. I'm not being a very good dad. God, everybody knows I'm not a very good preacher and pastor. God, I know it in my heart, and Satan knows it, reminds me of it. God, I can't do it. So God, what I want to do is I want to look to you and give you the pressure. I'm tired of it. I don't know about you, but I don't want that pressure. I wonder also, let me say this. This is a statement we'll go on. Are you ready for the pressure bill? Let me say secondly, you don't have to live a life of pressure. You don't have to live that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to go away from it. Some of you all right now are under conviction because you be honest about it. There's a pressure in your life. Some of it's because of our culture and our church. We can feel it. We was talking this morning. Let's talk this morning before Sunday school. Sunday school now has went down and down across everywhere you go. You know why? Because of the pressure of the culture. Our young people today have so much pressure upon them of living like wickedness and sin. It's so much pressure, the culture. You don't have to live a life of pressure. I've been studying about Scandinavia, Sweden and Denmark and those northern European countries, Finland, which is not a part of Scandinavia. I'm interested in them, and it's an amazing thing. Places that once preached and taught the gospel come under the pressure of a liberal culture. They're actually called the welfare states, and very little gospel preached there, very little known about God there. England, once the leader of missions around the world, now they don't really want to fund them. It's very few people that are really preaching and teaching. The city of Chattanooga, they tell me, has one Christian school. That was the center of missions and outreach at one time in our country. I could go on and on. You know why? Because of pressure. Because of the television pressure. You try to live up to what Hollywood says. Because of political pressure. You try to live up to what Washington, D.C. Because of the cultural pressure. Some of y'all right now are under pressure. You don't even know what it's like. Did you know there's people that think that being a Christian is not fun? You know why? Because they've listened to the lies of the devil and they've come under the influence and the pressure of the world and they don't know what it's like. They just say, God, I'm giving that pressure to you. I don't have to live this way. I woke up this morning feeling fine. I've got Jesus on my mind. Hallelujah! And you can live a life of victory. You can live a life of excitement. The fact that we don't say amen in this church and the fact that we're not excited and the fact that we don't have more than one personal visitation and the fact that our Sunday school and our choir goes down and the fact that we don't care anymore is a testament to the fact that we're under pressure. We've got to look to God and say, God, I don't want this pressure anymore. By the way, can I say this to you? This is one of the sweetest, kindest passages in the Word of God. Because I sat there, man, my heart was just, I was like, God, if I start crying, I ain't going to quit. Because I started thinking about how God's taking all the pressure off of my life and all the pressure of sin and wickedness that's upon me and upon you. Hey, and it's given us a home in heaven. And it started right here. I showed one of the pictures that a man had drawn. And again, I know that we don't know the likeness of Christ, but he showed him on the ground, grabbing the root of one of those trees. I sat there and I thought to myself, can you imagine our Savior as he's sitting there sweating, as it were, the Bible says, great drops of blood. Just as that olive gets broke and they smash that thing, sin weighs down upon him. That somebody that actually breathed the same air and was with him every step of the way, Judas, is getting ready to betray him. And if you read the account and go on, you'll see it happen very quickly. And it all started right here. This agony comes upon the Lord. He never walks openly, the Bible says, again with the Jews. He never does it again. After this time, I could go on. I wonder this morning as we get ready to close, are you under pressure? Is there some pressure in your life? And hey, let me say this. Your spouse don't know it. Your children don't know it. Your brother or sister in Christ don't know it. Your preacher don't know it. As a preacher, the church doesn't know it. We got to be very careful not being too hard on people. We don't know what they're going through. But I want to encourage you with this today. God does. And when the pressure's on, let me tell you this, whatever pressure you're going through, and by the way, let me say now, I'm not making light of what you're going through. I'm not going to make light of that. Brother Ed Porterfield's here, and I remember when he lost his sight. It broke my heart. Brother, if y'all know us, we like to be goofy together, and I would always catch myself. I never got goofy about certain things. Brother Eric will tell you his own testimony. The chastening hand of God come upon his life. He'll tell you that. Chastening hand of God come upon his life. Because of that brokenness, let me say this, a lot of blessings have came. Been a lot of wonderful blessings when that pressure got put in his life. Sometimes God allows pressure to cause things to happen in our life. How many of this? God has a way of getting your attention. God has a way. Listen, you don't have to. God won't make you, but God has a way of getting your attention. I wonder this morning, are you ready to get the pressure off? Are you ready to give that thing back to the Lord, Christian? Give it back to the Lord. If you're here today and you say, man, I just don't know if I'm saved, brother. I don't know if I know this Savior. I don't know if I've ever met this one before. I think maybe I went forward. I think maybe I went through the motions. But I don't know if I know the Savior that can take that off of you. Let me tell you something, friend. God wants you to come to Him. He was in agony right here for you and for me. He was going through this hour for us. He was going through this time. Even His, hey, some of you all this morning, it's hard to come to prayer meeting. You're not alone. Peter couldn't either. The Lord calls him out and says, Peter, you couldn't tarry an hour. He comes back and they all fell asleep. And he said, sleep on. Sleep on. You ever feel like somebody is leaving you and you're the only one, you're by yourself? They all forsook you. That's the Savior we serve. We ought to determine in our hearts this morning and say, God, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to, when the pressure's on, not look to the world, not look to myself, but look to you. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart.